This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala ashraf al-anbiya wa mursaleen, nabiyyina wa sayyidina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everyone hear me? Yes? No? Can you turn this up? Can you put it on the board? How about now? Yes? That's weird because I have a loud voice. Still coming. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me now? Yes? Better? Okay. So, my talk is entitled The Night of a Believer. What I wanted to do, inshallah, in this talk was talk about a subject which is rarely talked about. The unfortunate situation that we're in as Muslims in this day and age is that we tend to stick to the bare minimum of what Islam tells us. And people have this notion, and I think an incorrect notion, that if we at least do the bare minimum, we'll be okay. Or, you know, we're living in the West and we're living in hard times and we have so many fitin and trials and we have so many temptations that we should at least stick to the bare minimum. Now, what I want to present to you today is going above and beyond the bare minimum. And I firmly believe that in going above and beyond the bare minimum is our salvation. So when we adapt the sunnah of the Prophet and the companions in going above and beyond, that's how we're going to find that we're going to be saved. We're going to be free from the temptations of this life and the tests and the trials and so on and so forth. So I picked the topic of the night of a believer, the night of a mu'min, how a mu'min spends their night. Now, the thing about the nighttime, and this is something that most people can testify to, that we tend to feel that the night is a very beautiful time. And people find beauty in the night. And this is why you see most dates, when people go out on dates, when are these dates? Are they during the morning time? They're at night, right? There's a reason why these dates are, why we hold dates at night. And even psychologists in this day and age, they say that at nighttime, at the nighttime, as the sun goes down, as we go further into the night, a person is more likely to share their feelings. And they're more likely to tell someone something that they wouldn't have said otherwise. And we see that a believer takes advantage of that spiritual time. A time where most people are spending, you know, partying or clubbing or fulfilling their desires. A believer flips the coin. And their testimony of their love becomes apparent. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. That those who believe, they are stronger in love for Allah Azza wa Jalla. So they take those nights and they devote them to Allah Jalla wa Ala. And the thing that often surprises me, subhanAllah, is that we tend to forget and we tend to put aside the night worship. And the reason that a lot of people give is it's difficult. It's difficult to get up in the night. It's difficult to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla in the night. And we have to think, subhanAllah, how many times have we stayed up in the night, the time when we think that it's hard to stay up, for other things. So one of the most clearest examples I know is that a lot of people, if they have a flight in the morning, and if it's a long flight, it's usually not a problem to stay up at night. It's not a big deal, they'll stay up in the night. Or if they're excited about something, the next day, they'll stay up in the night. Or they have to meet someone important, they'll stay up in the night. And this testifies to the things that they love. A believer, if they love meeting their Lord, then it will be very easy for them to stay up in the night. Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked by some people in his time, they asked him, they said, why is it that we find it so hard to get up in the night and worship Allah Azza wa Jalla? They said, we try so hard to worship Allah in the night, but it's very difficult. And the Imam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, it is your sins that have restricted you. It is your sins that have binded you to your beds so that you cannot get up and worship Allah Azza wa Jalla in the night. The believer, they look at the night very differently. When everyone else is snoring, passed out, the believer is up, worshiping Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. And those who spend the night for their Lord in a state of prostration, in sajda, and qiyam. This is the methodology, this is the way of the believer. And the Prophet ﷺ, when talking about the night prayer, he said that the best prayer for a believer after the mandatory prayers, so after the five daily prayers, the Prophet ﷺ said that the best prayer is the night prayer. The best prayer for a believer after the five daily prayers is the prayer of the night. And obviously there's something in this night, in the night prayer, that the Prophet ﷺ knew, and this is why he encouraged us to get up in the night and pray. And so you go back to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and you see how he was during the night. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says about one of her nights, when one of the nights when the Prophet ﷺ was with her, she says the Prophet ﷺ got up in the middle of the night. He was sleeping next to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he got up. And Aisha, she says to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, where are you going? And he says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm going to worship my Lord. And she says, Wallahi Ya Rasulullah, I love that you sleep next to me at night, but I will not stop you from worshiping your Lord. And then she says, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got up in the middle of the night. He made wudu and he started praying. And then he said, Allahu Akbar, he started praying. And when he would go down for sajda, he would tap the feet of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she would pull her legs up. And the scholars say that the reason he did this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is because the room or the apartment of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was very small. And some scholars even say that the apartment of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was about 4 to 6 feet. So 4 feet by 6 feet. But this was the night of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would wake up in the night and worship Allah azza wa jalla. And we know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his feet would swell out of his worship at night. And when it was said to him, Ya Rasulullah, why did you put yourself through this pain of worshipping Allah at night when your sins have been forgiven? And he said, what? أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful servant of Allah Azza wa Jalla? The companions, رضي الله تعالى عنه, they were raised under the tutelage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they took this methodology, they took this life from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They took the night worship from the Prophet ﷺ. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, when he would walk at night, in the nights of Medina, he would go by the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu at night time. And Abu Bakr would be standing in Qiyam al-Layl, standing in the night worship. But Abu Bakr, he'd be reciting the Qur'an in a very silent voice, very low voice. And then the Prophet ﷺ would go to the house of Umar, walk by the house of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Umar would be reciting in a very high voice, very loud. And so the Prophet ﷺ would say to Umar, Ya Umar, lower your voice a little bit. And he would say to Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, raise your voice a little bit. This was the Prophet ﷺ giving the companions the training of standing up in the night. And we know Uthman ibn Affan, about whom it is said that he would spend the majority of the night worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. One thing we have to realize is that our ummah today, and this is something that nobody disputes, nobody has an argument with this, we're in trouble a little bit. We're struggling a little bit, we're having a hard time. And a lot of times we seek answers everywhere, except the one place that we're really going to find the answers. We try to solve the problems of this ummah, the problems of our nation. We try to solve the problems of political, social, all these problems, the problems with youth and fitan and trials, and all these problems, we try to solve it everywhere, except the one place where the solution lies to these problems. Where is that? In the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why we know when we say that this ummah will not be rectified and fixed, except by that which rectified the beginning of this ummah. So those things that made this ummah great to begin with, it is only those things that are going to make this ummah great now. And this is why we have to adapt the methodology of the companions of the Allah Ta'ala anhu. Ibn Abbas of the Allah Ta'ala anhu, he says regarding the companions, he says that not a single one of the companions that I have seen would let the night go by without them taking something from the night.
Not a single companion, even Abbas says, not a single companion have I seen. Let the night go by that they didn't take something from the night from family day. And now we look at our ummah today and we say, how many people take advantage of the night? And the answer is indeed a very small amount of people. And so we say, how in the world is this ummah going to get fixed if we can't do this? If we have left the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, we're so far from the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, and so far from something that the companions took as part of the religion. Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rabi'a, he says that he went to the Prophet ﷺ one day, and he brought the Prophet ﷺ some water to make wudu. And the Prophet ﷺ looked at him, and he knew that he had something on his mind. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Sal. He said, ask, meaning ask what you want. And he said, As'aluka murafaqatak fil jannah. He says, I ask your companionship in paradise. Isn't that our goal? Isn't that the goal of every single one of us? Isn't that why we're doing the things that we do in life? To spend the hereafter with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise? The Prophet says to Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says to him, Awa ghayra dhalik. He says, is there anything else that you want? He says, huwa dhak. That's it. That's all I want. And then the Prophet ﷺ says to him, فَأَعِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكْ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. He says, help me in helping you by increasing and making sajda. So we see that the answer that the Prophet ﷺ gave him to this paradise that he sought wasn't go out and do this or do that. He gave him a very simple answer. He said, increase in making sajda. Increase in your prayer. And this is how you will attain my companionship, meaning the companionship of the Prophet ﷺ in the hereafter. Now I spoke about the two sides of the coin. How a believer, they spend their night in a very different way. When the whole world is passed out and sleeping and taking care of their nightly rest, a believer wakes up and worships Allah Azza wa Jalla. A believer understands that the amount of barakah, the amount of blessings that lie in the night can hardly be found anywhere else. That if they were to just wake up and try to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, they would see their life change and transform. They know that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Azza wa Jalla descends to the lowest parts of the heavens. Allah, our creator, our maker, the one in charge of everything, He descends to the last, in the last third of the night, He descends to the lowest parts of the heavens. Why? Why does He do this? To ask the believers, who is asking of me that I may give to them? Who is seeking my forgiveness that I may forgive them? And who is seeking my mercy that I may be merciful to them? And this happens every single night. A believer understands the importance of the night. They don't look at the night like other people look at the night. Most people look at the night as a time to fall asleep and to get some rest. Or they look at the night, if it's a weekend, to try and cram as much fun as you can on those nights. What can I accomplish in terms of having fun in these 4 or 5 hours I have in the night? This is the average person. But a mu'min, a believer, they have a different mindset. They look at this as an opportunity to meet their Lord, to have a relationship with their Lord. And this is why the scholars of the past, they would say, if somebody doesn't know the importance of Qiyam al-Layl, meaning they don't realize how important it is, they only have to do one thing. Meaning if you really want to know how amazing this experience is, you only have to do one thing. And that is just try it. Just wake up one day out of your life. And I don't mean wake up for the whole night. I don't mean wake up for half the night. I don't even mean wake up for a third of the night. What I mean is wake up for 10 minutes. Wake up for 10 minutes and just try to pray Qiyam al-Layl. Try to be alone with your Lord. And those 10 minutes that you spend with you and Allah and nobody else watching, meaning you're having a relationship with Allah and everyone else is not there. You're in connection with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Just try this. And when you feel that sweetness in your worship, you will be convinced. You will be convinced of the importance and of the beauty of Qiyam al-Layl. When you pray Qiyam al-Layl, you'll see your heart will transform. You will see that your soul will feel like all of a sudden it can breathe. All of a sudden your soul will feel free. and you will feel the tranquility descend upon you. And this amazing spiritual experience cannot be found anywhere else. It's very difficult, especially in our times, to find this type of spiritual experience. This type of transformation where we really feel connection. We feel a connection with our spirituality. We feel in touch with Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is very hard to find. But even in this day, we can find it where? In the night. This is why Imam Hassan Basri, it was said to him, they said to him, how is it, or why is it, that the people who pray Qiyam al-Layl, meaning the people who spend their nights in worship to Allah Azza wa Jalla, why is it that they just seem different? Meaning you look at them and they just feel different. And the Imam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said the reason why they seem different is because these people spend their nights in seclusion with their Lord. And in return, their Lord, meaning Allah Azza wa Jalla, dresses them with His light. This is the amount of barakah that lies in the night. That the people who are ahli qiyam al-layl, the people who stand in the night and worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, they're just different people. And the best example of that is, like I said, the companions. That they were different people, they're unlike us, they were on another level. And this is why you read the stories of the companions and you're amazed. How could they, subhanAllah, accomplish these amazing things? And sometimes it's hard for us to believe some of the things that they did. It's hard for us to believe that they were able to accomplish such things until we looked at how they worshiped Allah Azza wa Jalla. Until we look at their relationship with Qiyam al-Layl. One of the tabi'een, Thabit al-Bunani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in his personal story, he says, for 20 years of my life, I struggled with Qiyam al-Layl. Meaning I fought my nafs. I tried so hard to pray Qiyam al-Layl, and every night was a struggle for 20 years of my life. He said, but after those 20 years, for the next 20 years of my life, I was consistently able to get up and worship Allah Azza wa Jalla in Qiyam al-Layl with ease. Meaning it was no problem after that. And what Thabit, rahimahullah ta'ala, what he's trying to tell us is that it's not a matter of it's just easy and some people can do it and some people cannot. It requires work. Meaning to get up in the night and pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, it requires work. And it's going to be difficult. But the reward is just as amazing. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. That the reward matches what? Our actions. So the more we devote ourselves to Allah Azza wa Jalla in the night, the greater we're going to feel. And this is why we know that the people who spend their nights in Qiyam, they reach a point that not only is it not difficult to get up for Qiyam al-Layl, the day they miss Qiyam al-Layl, the day they're not able to get up for Allah Azza wa Jalla, they feel something is missing. And there's reports of the Sahaba crying, meaning they woke up in the morning and they were crying, and the people said, why are you crying? And they said, they were not able to get up and worship our Lord at night. Our sleep overtook us. And they were saddened by what had happened. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he made Qiyam al-Layl his habit. And this is why it is said by Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he would pray Isha in the masjid and they would put out a bed for him. So he would sleep in the masjid right after Isha. And after a little while, he would get up. Meaning he's still in the masjid, he would get up and pray 2 rak'ahs of Qiyam. And then he would try to pray more, and then he would get tired and he would fall asleep after that. And then he would get up again and pray 2 rak'ahs and then go back to sleep. And he would do this until the last third of the night. When the last third of the night came, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would get up, make wudu, and start praying. 2 rak'ahs at a time. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Salatul Layli Masna Masna, the night prayer is 2, 2, 2. Meaning when you want to get up in the night and pray, start praying 2 rak'ahs at a time. 2 rak'ahs, then 2 rak'ahs, then 2 rak'ahs. And this is what Ibn Umar did. They say he would pray 2 rak'ahs, keep praying, until he would see that the sunlight was coming up. And he would say to the companions, Asbahna, has the sun come up? Is Fajr about to come in? They would say, La ba'd, there's still some time. And he would continue. He would continue praying Qiyam al-Layl until Fajr was about to come, and then he would pray a raka'ah of Witr. This was the habit of Ibn Umar. This is how he led his life. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِنْ أَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. That they would sleep very little from the night. This was the companions. قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. From the night they would sleep very little. وَبِنْ أَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And in the time before Fajr, they seek forgiveness from their Lord. And I remember until this day, subhanAllah, one of the days when I was in Medina, what we would do sometimes is that we would get in the car before Fajr and pick up some brothers, and we would drive to the Prophet's masjid. And one morning, I used to live off of campus. I went to the University of Medina to go pick up some friends. I picked them up from the masjid and from the university, and we were about to drive to the Prophet's masjid. And outside the university, there's usually students standing because there's cars going to Prophet's masjid, and they get rides from people to go pray Fajr. So there was a brother standing, and he waved us down, and we pulled over, put him in the car, and started driving towards the Prophet's masjid. Now, mind you, this is before Fajr is coming, because you have to get to the masjid early to catch Fajr on time. And you want to get to the masjid before the adhan goes off. And this brother, may Allah reward him, throughout the whole journey, it was a good like 15 minute drive to Prophet's masjid from the university, he's saying, Astaghfirullah, 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 Astaghfirullah. And then when we get to the Prophet's masjid, and I will never forget this day, he says, Ya Ikhwan, Ma Bikum. He says, my brothers, what is wrong with you? He said to us, why are you not seeking the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal? Don't you know that Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَبِنْ أَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, that in the time before Fajr, they seek the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And from that day forward, subhanAllah, now I will never forget that. That if Allah gives me the chance to wake up before Fajr, I remember that brother, Jazallah Khair. That he taught us on that day, that it is that time we make istighfar. And later on, I found out, subhanAllah, that brother in his country is a scholar. And he came to Medina just to, you know, get the recognition. But before he had come to Medina, get the recognition, meaning being certified, having a degree to go back to his country with. But even before that, this brother, Jazallah Khair, he was a scholar. And I learned a lesson that day. You look at the life of the companions, with everything that they went through, all the struggles and trials that they went through, and everything that they sacrificed, you look at their lives, and their lives were absolutely beautiful. And there was companions that were tortured like we can't imagine. And they went to tests and trials like we can never even think of. But if you look at how their lives were and how they felt, it was absolutely beautiful. This tranquility and this peace that they felt was something that we rarely feel this. And you wonder, how is it that with everything that they went through, they were happy, they were content, they were in a place where they felt peaceful? It was because of their connection with Allah Azza wa Jalla. It was because of their qiyam and their following of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why we know that Islam brings peace, there's no doubt. Islam is a religion of ease, no doubt. But how do we understand this ease? You know, a lot of times people will say to you, they'll say, Ad-Din Yusuf, that the religion is ease. Have you heard this before? The people telling you, look, Islam is supposed to be easy. Ad-Din Yusuf, this is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ad-Din Yusuf, that the religion is ease. So people use this to say, well, if you find something difficult in Islam, you don't really have to do it. So if it's hard for you to pray five times a day, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal. Ad-Din Yusuf, right? The religion is ease. This is how people interpret this. What is meant by Ad-Din Yusuf, Ad-Din Yusuf, that the religion is ease, is that if you were to follow Islam properly, if you were to devote your life to Islam, if you were to follow the Sharia, follow the commandments of the Prophet ﷺ, and be in a state of worship to Allah Azza wa Jal, you will find ease in your heart. Meaning your body might be struggling, your body might be in pain, but your heart will be at ease, and this is the greatest ease. As Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the ease that a believer feels is the ease on the day of judgment. When the sun is on top of our heads, When a day is 50,000 years long, on this day a believer feels ease, and they will understand what the statement of the Prophet ﷺ meant when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-deenu yusr," that the religion is ease. They struggled in this life. They worshipped Allah Azza wa Jalla in this life, and on that day they understood the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, "Ad-deenu yusr." The month of Ramadan is coming upon us. A month where we worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, where almost everyone gets up for Qiyam. Although almost everyone prays Tarawih. The amazing thing about the month of Ramadan is that in the month of Ramadan, worship becomes easy. The Prophet ﷺ told us that in the month of Ramadan, the shayateen are tied up, they're chained up. And one of the implications of this is that we'll find that it's easy to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla in the month of Ramadan. This is why you see people in the masjid. In Ramadan, they have never come to the masjid before. The whole year, you won't see them in the masjid. But in the month of Ramadan, they'll be in the masjid. You'll see them get up and pray 20 rak'ahs of Taraweeh, and before that, they didn't even pray their 5 daily prayers. Why is that? It's because Allah Azza wa Jalla made it easy to worship Him in the month of Ramadan. And this is why this is the time. The month of Ramadan is the time to take advantage of this ease in worship. It's the time to train ourselves to pray Qiyam al-Layl. It's the time to train our bodies and our nafs and our soul to be in worship to Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the time. The month where we see that the worship becomes easy, that is the time that you not only worship Allah Azza wa Jalla in that month, but you carry it over to the rest of the year. And this is why the scholars say that a proof of the success of a person's Ramadan, and if their Ramadan was accepted by Allah, is if they worship Allah Azza wa Jalla after Ramadan the way they worship Allah in Ramadan. So if you find a person that in Ramadan, mashallah, they came to the masjid, they prayed Taraweeh, and they prayed Tahajjud, and they prayed Qiyam, and mashallah, they gave charity, and they did this, and they did that. But after the month of Ramadan, khalas. It's like, you know, this month came and it went and nothing changed. They left all this stuff. This means that there was something missing in their Ramadan. There was an issue in their sincerity. And there was a problem with how they were approaching the month of Ramadan, meaning it's just like a seasonal thing. We do it and it goes away, khalas. There's a problem. But if you see that a person comes and they come to the month of Ramadan and they start worshipping Allah and they make all these changes in their life and the month of Ramadan leaves and they continue. Yeah, it may not be at that exact same intensity, but they have taken something from the month of Ramadan. They have taken something small from the month of Ramadan, at least. At the very least, they've taken Qiyam al-Layl. At the very least, they've learned that I will wake up 10 minutes before Fajr. Not an hour before Fajr, not 2 hours before Fajr, just 10 minutes. They wake up 10 minutes before Fajr, and they pray Qiyam al-Layl. And they taste that sweetness. And it's really amazing, subhanAllah, when you think about there's people in our ummah today who don't know what Qiyam al-Layl is except in Ramadan. If Ramadan comes, they understand what Qiyam al-Layl means. But once Ramadan leaves, they have no idea what Qiyam al-Layl is. They don't understand it. It's like it's not part of their religion or something. It's ajeeb. And it's even more sad if a person comes and lives this life and they never get to taste the sweetness found in Qiyam al-Layl, in praying the night prayer. And it's, wallahi, it's very sad. It's very sad that there is people from amongst us today who have never tasted the sweetness of Qiyam al-Layl. They have never tasted that seclusion with their Lord. They have never tasted that intimate time with their Lord. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. That the people who forsake their beds, meaning they put them aside. They get up. Why? How? خوفا وطمعا. Out of fear and hope. And this is the way a believer is, between fear and hope. The fear and hope of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the fear of Allah's punishment, and the hope of Allah's reward, causes them to forsake their beds. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from that which they have been given. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ الْأَعْيُنِ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And what do you know? And no soul knows what has been hidden from them. From joys. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. As a reward for what they used to do. Now these two ayahs right here, there's something amazing that happens in these ayahs. And that is the concept of al-jaza min jins al-amal, that the reward is given according to the action. So we see that a person, they forsake their beds and they worship Allah Azza wa Jalla in private. Meaning, no one's awake, everyone else is sleeping, the lights are off, the house is quiet, but they turn on the light and they go and they pray and nobody's watching. It's just them and Allah. And they have forsaken their beds and they stand for Allah. And what is their reward? As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ الْأَعْيُنِ. And no soul knows what has been hidden for them from their reward. Meaning their reward is hidden from the people. They are getting something that they can't even imagine, that no eye has seen, that no soul can even think about. And the reason why they have this hidden reward is because they hid their worship from others. They hid their worship from others. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. As a reward for what they used to do. So this intense reward, this great reward they have, is because of their hidden worship for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And as the Prophet said, that the example of the night prayer to the day prayer is like the example of a person who gives charity during in front of everyone, compared to the one who hides their charity. Meaning they do it in seclusion. Nobody is watching. This intimate time, this time of seclusion, is one of the most amazing times I can think of. And this is a reward that Allah Azza wa Jalla has in store for us. Qiyam al-Layl has a lot of answers for us. A lot of times, one of the most common questions that I get from young people is, I'm having issues in my iman. I'm struggling with my iman. You know, there was a time where I felt an iman high, and I felt my iman was strong. But as time went on, I felt my iman get weak. Or you know, there's just so much to deal with in life that it's hard for me to maintain that level of iman. And there's a couple questions that I usually ask this person at that time. There's a couple of things. Number one, I say to them, how is your relationship with the Qur'an? How are you doing with the Qur'an? And usually the answer is, yeah, I don't really recite the Qur'an that much anymore. Or I don't really, you know, read to see or anything like that. The second question I ask is, when was the last time you got up for Qiyam al-Layl? When was the last time you had an amazing spiritual experience where you got up in the middle of the night, or the last third of the night, and you worshiped Allah Azza wa Jalla and nobody else was watching? And the answer usually is, oh, I've never really done that. I've actually never tried that before. And of course your iman's going to dip. Of course there's going to be problems with your iman when we're not working towards it. The belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that iman goes up and down. So if we're not working to fix our iman, if we're not working to raise our iman, of course it's going to go down. Of course we're going to have problems with our iman. So the answer lies in Qiyam al-Layl. So we say to the person, if you want to repent, if you sincerely want to repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you want to turn a new leaf in your life, then the night prayer, the Qiyam al-Layl, is your sanctuary. That's where you'll find repentance. If you fear for your nafs, if you fear for your soul, if you fear like you're falling into desires and sin, then seek refuge in the night prayer. Seek refuge in the night prayer. If you want to build for your akhirah, meaning if you're concerned about your akhirah, then seek the resources that are found in the night prayer. I wanted to end this talk, inshallah, and I know I don't have too much time left, with a couple of tips. A couple of tips on how to bring ourselves to get up for Qiyam al-Layl. I'm going to go through this quickly, inshallah. The first tip I have is, take it easy. A lot of times, when we hear something, and I imagine, inshallah, that after tonight, almost everyone here, inshallah ta'ala, is going to get up tonight and pray Qiyam al-Layl, inshallah. But the problem is, when we get up the first night, pray 2 hours of Qiyam al-Layl, we go gung-ho about Qiyam al-Layl, and we're so strong, and the next night comes and we pray an hour, and the next night comes and we're like, you know what, I can't handle this. This is too much. And khalas, Qiyam al-Layl is gone. Never again did they pray Qiyam al-Layl. Take it easy. Stand up in your first night for maybe 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. Something that you can do consistently. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved actions to Allah Azza wa Jalla are those actions or those deeds that are done consistently, even if they're less. So it's better for you to worship Allah in Qiyam just for 5 or 10 minutes every day than for you to wake up tonight and pray 4 hours of Qiyam in the day. So my first piece of advice is take it easy, take it slow. Don't overwhelm yourselves. The second piece of advice I have is make the intention to pray Qiyam in the day. I mean, at the very least that you can do tonight and every other night, inshallah, ta'ala, for the rest of your life, is tell yourself before going to bed, I'm going to wake up for Qiyam al Layl. I'm going to wake up for Qiyam al Layl. Just make the intention. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ told us that a person who makes the intention to pray Qiyam at night, they make the intention and they go to bed. And if they wake up in the morning and they were not able to pray Qiyam al Layl, Allah Azza wa Jal gives them the reward of praying Qiyam al Layl. And the sleep that they got was a sadaqah from Allah Azza wa Jal, was a charity from Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's like a win-win situation. Make the intention. Just try. Make the intention. So tonight before going to bed, you tell yourself, I'm going to get up for Qiyam al Layl. No matter what, I'm going to get up for Qiyam al Layl. And if you get up, alhamdulillah. If you're unable to get up, then inshaAllah ta'ala, you have reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. Number three, make the intention to wake somebody else up. You know, one of the amazing things about having responsibility and feeling responsible for someone else is that it makes us more concerned about our deeds. So for example, if you tell your friend tonight, or you tell somebody, listen, don't worry, I will wake you up for Qiyam al Layl. I got you tonight, inshallah, don't worry about this. You tell them, I will wake you up. Now you're going to sleep with a responsibility. So you will be more likely to wake up for Qiyam al Layl. And inshallah ta'ala, if you're able to wake up, and you're able to wake up this person, you get the reward for your deed, and inshallah ta'ala, Allah will reward you for the khair that came from their deed. Also, number four is to go to sleep early. And I know this is one of those sunnahs that is almost abandoned in our time. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to hate to stay up after Isha. The Prophet ﷺ would, I mean, I'm not talking about going to sleep at 10, or what time does Isha come in here? 10 o'clock? 10:30. I'm not saying go to sleep at 10:30. The Prophet would sometimes delay his Isha to be a little bit later. But I'm saying go to bed at a reasonable time. Get some sleep. Get some rest so you can easily wake up in the last of the night and worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number five, don't be too comfortable. And I know, like, in our times, it's the more comfortable your bed is, the more it's going to cost for the better it's supposed to be. And we see this is not really the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu. The bed of the Prophet was very simple. It was made out of date palm leaves. To the point where Umar radiallahu anhu, he once walked into the house of the Prophet, into the apartment of the Prophet. The Prophet got up and he had marks on his back from the date leaves that he was sleeping on. A very simple bed. So make your sleep not too comfortable. I'm not saying be uncomfortable when going to sleep, but I'm saying don't be too comfortable. And usually there's a problem in both extremes. So if you're too comfortable, you're not going to wake up. So if you have one of those air cushion mattresses, it's unlikely. May Allah help you. Yeah. At the same time, if you're really uncomfortable, and I know some brothers, they'll do this, they'll be like, you know what, I'm going to follow the sunnah, I'm going to sleep on the floor today. Or I'm going to sleep on something super uncomfortable. And what ends up happening is that they're so uncomfortable, they don't get any sleep, they try to get up for Qiyam, it's a mess. So my advice is, pick a bed which is not too comfortable and not too uncomfortable. Number six, go to sleep in the state of taha. Go to sleep in the state of purity. See, when we make wudu and we go to sleep, we're implementing the sunnah of the Prophet. The Prophet informed us that it is good to go to sleep in the state of taha, meaning make wudu before going to bed. When we do this, we bring the barakah, the blessings of the sunnah of the Prophet into our lives, into our sleep. So not only will our sleep be more restful, we're more likely to get up and pray Qiyam al Layl. Number seven, and this is my last piece of advice, inshaAllah, is to not eat or drink too much. And I know it's not really that much of a problem right now, but I assure you, when Ramadan comes, this is going to be a big problem. Because we don't eat all day, and then when that nighttime comes, we go all out. And when you fill your stomach, you'll see it's very hard to get up in the night and pray. And even if you're praying, somehow, with some mu'jiz or some miracle, Allah Azza wa Jal gave you the blessing of waking you up at night, you're going to be uncomfortable with a full stomach. And this is why the month of Ramadan is not only a time of not eating from this hour to this hour, it's a time of being moderate in our eating and drinking throughout the whole month. So even in those times where it's halal for us to eat, the night time, we're moderate in our eating, in our drinking. Anyways, those are the 7 pieces of advice I have. Wallahu ta'ala alam, subhanahu wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.